I'm going to ask you to turn to Ezekiel 16 first this morning. It'll be a little while before I get there. First six verses of Ezekiel 16. My subject this morning is saved. The word saved, or what it biblically means to be saved. That is, what it means to be born again. And maybe a little bit of what it doesn't mean. Who knows? First, though, Ezekiel 16, it'll be a little bit before I get there. I want to start out, though, with telling you what it means to be dead in sins. There is no way to rightly understand what it means to be eternally saved, that is, born again, unless we first understand what it means to be dead in sins. It is not possible. I would go so far as to say, I would go so far as to say, one of the single most important things for us to learn to ever apprehend the theology of the Bible is what it means to be dead in sins. To be dead in sins. Now, y'all, I'm just going to give you this here without a lot of scriptural reference, okay? You know them well, probably. If you want more, ask me, okay? But for the sake of brevity, and I know you're thinking, you've never been brief in your life. Well, to be dead in sins is to be a true atheist. Hating the very idea of any God who would tell us what to do. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And I just referred you to one. Isaiah, that's Psalm 14 to 53, if you want to. The fool has said, where does the fool say there is no God? Where? In his heart, not just with his mouth. To be dead in sins is to be at enmity with God. That means hatred. It is to be incapable of doing anything acceptable in the sight of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. It is to have no spiritual mind with which to grasp or understand the things of God. It is to have no spiritual will, because the unregenerate have only a carnal mind, which is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I ask you, even from the physical point of view, how much will does a dead person have? To be dead in sins is to be without faith in God. All men have not faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It is to be without love for God. Love for God is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. It is to be without the Spirit. To be dead in sins is to be without the Spirit of God. When does the Spirit inhabit us anyway? At regeneration, that's when. Amen? Okay, to be dead in sins is to be without the Spirit and thus without any fruit of the Spirit, that is, fruit produced by the Spirit. It is to be totally void of these spiritual things. You say, Brother Gary, this is depressing. You got that right. The natural condition of fallen man is not a pretty sight. I warn you, because I'm fixing to read it to you from Ezekiel 16. So, it is to be without the Spirit, without any fruit of the Spirit. It is to be unrighteous. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I love that. There's none that doeth good. And in case you don't know what none means, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God in his own carnal nature. How much seeking do dead people do? When the Bible uses the word dead, it means it. I'm telling you. Okay. It is to be dead in sins is spiritually dead, and that means unable to respond to a spiritual stimulus. Understand me? You can stimulate a dead person and they're not going to respond to it because they're dead. Amen? If I had a dead corpse here today and I took a hot shot, do they still make hot shots? I don't know. Everybody here know what a hot shot is? Cattle prod, electric cattle prod. If I had a dead person here and I took an electric cattle prod and just till the flesh burnt and smoked, do you realize the dead person would never be stimulated by that because he's dead? What say ye, my brethren? To be dead in sins means to be unable to respond to a spiritual stimulus, and I submit to you lovingly, and I think you know that the gospel is a spiritual stimulus. To be spiritually dead means to have no spiritual thirst. Have you ever known a dead person to be thirsty? To have no spiritual hunger. It is to be totally depraved. The dead know not anything. They don't even know they're dead. So I ask you, is it true that in order to be eternally saved, I've got to know I'm dead and then do something about it? Do you see how preposterous that is, my brothers and sisters? I've said this to you over and over. When Lazarus was dead for 4 days, he was dead and even offensive. But you know he didn't know he was offensive? Because he was dead. Everybody understand? Ezekiel 16, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I love you so much. You're such a great audience. The fact that you're still listening proves you're a great audience. Now you may be sitting there and saying to me in your mind, I have never hated God. I have always loved God. And I say to you, my beloved, that God saved you and gave you eternal life before you came to conscious awareness of your own existence as a child. Because we are all by nature the children of wrath, even as others, before we're born again. Okay, y'all, when was John the Baptist saved? When? Christy will take care of the baby, and I know it. My heart's going that way too. Trust me. Trust me. When was John the Baptist saved? When was he born again? While he was 6 months along in his mother's womb. My brothers and sisters, do you understand? That's when God imparted love for God to John the Baptist. I ask you, did John the Baptist remember that? He certainly did not. All right, when did God give David eternal life? When he was on his mother's breast, according to his own testimony. Jeremiah was born of God in his mother's belly and even ordained to be a prophet while he was in his mother's belly. God Almighty says in Matthew chapter 21 that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he has perfected praise. Do you understand what that means, brothers and sisters? That means God has given eternal life to babies and children who are being fed at the breast. What say ye? What say ye? In fact, I would go so far as to say that I believe that is the Bible pattern, that God gives eternal life to His children when they're very young so that they will have no memory of hating God, so that they will have a conscience and able to obey their parents and feel guilt toward God when they don't. Do you understand how serious it would be not to have a conscience? And there are people that don't, because when you get a conscience, my brothers and sisters, is when God writes His laws in your heart at regeneration. Are you with me? I would have you know salvation is by grace, and it embraces far more than most people can ever dream, because it does not depend on what men do. I tell you, God has had an elect in the most ancient dynasties of China, when they were samurais. Can you believe it? Out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue under heaven, God has His people. These things cannot be dependent on what men do, otherwise it would be sketchy. Right? How can God say, I will lose none of them? I lovingly submit to you with all the love in my heart, and I love you so. Any theological theory that says Christ is going to lose anybody that He died for must be errant. According to the Bible theology, He will lose none. Not one will He lose. Okay. Whew. I ask you, is it not obvious? Should it not be that salvation is by grace? That it is not based on what we do? It is not based on prerequisites that God has given us. Listen to me. It's not based on God giving us a law to keep so that we can be saved, because we're too dead to keep a law. Are you with me? Okay. Our salvation is not, and logically cannot, be based upon what we as spiritually dead people do. Because we're dead in sins. Okay. Can I slip in a grammar lesson here? Anna's here. Anna's an English person, a nerdy person. Even the English grammar teaches us this, okay? The word saved and the verb. If I were to say to you, I am saved is the verb. Y'all, that's a passive voice verb. That is saying, if I say, I am saved, that is saying somebody else saved me. I did not save myself. I am saved. And if I were going to indicate who did the saving, I would have to say, I was saved by God. God did the saving. So even the English grammar The Bible's in English. Harmonizes with the doctrine of God's word on salvation. Now let me pause. In weeks to come, if God does not interrupt me, I want to tell you eventually how to save yourselves from this untoward generation. But you know what? You can't save yourself from this untoward generation until you are eternally saved. And then eventually I want to tell you how to help save others from this untoward generation. But you can't help save others from the wicked world unless you're saved yourself from the wicked world. And you can't do any of that until you're eternally saved first. Everybody understand? So that's about 2 months worth of sermons that I've just encapsulated there. Okay. Ezekiel 16. You're going to wonder why this is even in the Bible. Okay, the very first thing I want to say to you about what it means to be saved, and I'll have to finish this up next week, I feel certain. The very first thing I want you to know that to be saved means to be given life from the dead. To be given life when you're dead. Life from the dead is what it means to be eternally saved. Okay, let's look at Ezekiel here. Verses 1 through 6, are you with me? I told Becky I was going to preach on this. She said, oh no, I've heard that till I'm tired. Well, our preacher's wives suffer like you can't imagine. Your pastor needs prayer, not only because he's 64, but I think Becky needs prayer maybe even worse than putting up with me. Okay, enough of that. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, caused Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now, why in the round world would God want us to know our abominations? Why? So we would know what we've been saved from. And so we would know that we didn't help God save us. We were saved by God. Son of man, caused Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say unto her, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite, which means we are all by nature pagan. And if you think we're not all by nature pagan, I want you to look at how much paganism is lauded and promoted in the wicked world in which we live. Okay, I got to put a stop right there. And as for thy nativity, you know what your nativity is? Your birth. In the day that thou wast born, now y'all, verses 4 and 5 here, it's almost a mystery why God would put something so gross in the Bible. But he did so for a very sound reason. So we would know what we were before we were saved. As for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel. Okay, what's going on here? This baby is born dead. You say, that's gross. No one wants to think of that. I know that. But you know what? The Bible, one reason I know the Bible is the Word of God, it tells us the truth about things we don't want to know or hear. Things that that we don't, in our own nature, like. Amen? Your nature does not want to be told that you're a sinner by nature. Your nature doesn't want to be told that. But isn't it funny that there's a part of you inside there that does want to be told that? Isn't that curious? All right, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Miles' navel was. You know why Miles' navel was? He was alive. Are you with me? Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. This dead baby, its navel was not cut. It was not even washed. You say that is gross. You're right. Thou wast not salted at all. They used to rub babies with salt a little bit to toughen them up, make them, you know, and build up their immunities. We don't do that anymore. We give them shots. But anyway, nor swaddled at all. Y'all understand me? This baby wasn't even diapered. You want to know why? It's dead. You're very quiet. And I'm glad you are, because this is weighty, isn't it? Why is this physical, why is this gross physical illustration in God's Word? It is a physical illustration of what we are spiritually by nature. Do you understand, my brothers and sisters? You say, well, I don't remember that. Well, good for you. God gave you eternal life when you were a suckling child. Can God give eternal life to people when they're suckling children? Or does He have to wait till they do something? You see, salvation is by grace, my brothers and sisters. It is dependent upon the operation of God. God operates on us. God saves us. And by the way, John 1:13 says that this new birth is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. I'll just pause right there. The new birth, when God gives you eternal life, it is not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. That excludes everybody except God. Whose will is it then? Of whose will is it that we are born of God? It is of the will of God. Because remember, look, you're too dead to have a will. Are you with me? Okay. All right. Navel not cut. This baby's navel is not cut. This baby is not washed. This baby is not salted. This baby is not even diapered. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field. It gets even worse. To the loathing of that person in the day that thou wast born. I don't think the cruelest person in the world would do this. Well, maybe, but here's what I started to say. I don't think the cruelest person in the world would do this to a live baby, but I don't know. Now that I stop and think about that a second. But this baby's dead. Now the proof is in the next verse when the Lord gives it life. Are you with me? Okay, Brother Gary, remember, this is point number one of this sermon, that being saved, born again, is given life from the dead. When you're dead and God gives you life, you're dead one moment, alive the next. Spiritually, are you with me? So this baby's in this shape. All right, now verse 6 gets down to the nitty of the gritty here. And, okay, who's talking to whom? God is talking to Jerusalem, right? And when I passed by thee, pause. Who is passing by whom? Who's passing by whom? God is passing by the dead baby. The dead baby not going anywhere. Are you with me? Who's passing by whom? Is the dead baby approaching God? The dead baby is inert, passive, just like that passive voice verb I said a minute ago. God is passing by the baby. Okay. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, that's about as good an illustration of what we are by nature as is out there. We're polluted in sin, polluted in our own blood, polluted in our own nature. Totally depraved. Now, y'all listen to me. After you're born again, you are no longer totally depraved. I'd like to tell you about that. You've got an inner man that's not totally depraved. And now you can serve God and obey God and you love God, feel guilt toward God. But that's a byproduct of being born of God. So, and I saw thee, okay, now my question, I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thy blood. Who is seeing whom? Is the baby seeing anything yet? No, the baby's dead. Who is seeing whom? God sees the baby. Okay. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, would you like to live? Is that in there? Did God ask the baby if it wanted to live? Okay, now y'all, you say, Brother Gary, that is so silly. Okay, you know why? Because the baby's dead and it can't want to live until it is alive. Did you know the dead people don't want to live? The only person that wants to live is a person that's still alive. Say amen. God is showing us all the time that salvation is by grace. We are saved by grace. By grace. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Do you realize he's commanding the baby to live there? What do y'all suppose the baby did? Did the baby stay dead? Or did the baby obey the omnipotent voice of love in God's word? Did you notice that God does not here tell the mother and father of this baby to do anything? He doesn't tell the dead baby to do anything. Salvation is by grace. It is not based on what we do. Are you with me? It is to be saved is to be made alive in God and Christ. To be given life. The initial impartation of life given to the individual by God alone is what it means to be saved. Are you with me? Okay. Did or did not God give the baby life sovereignly, immediately? Did God use anything other than his own power? You see, regeneration is when God uses his power on us. Not the gospel, not the Bible, not the church. Did you realize there were people that were born of God in the Old Testament just the same as you and I were all the way back to Adam and Eve? There's really only one way that God saves people. Not 17 different ones. One. And it's by grace. And the Lord doesn't need a backup system. This is just what he's got one way. You know why he only has one way? It gets the job done every time. It's perfect. It doesn't leave any out. It's incredible when you think about it. Okay. I'm going to repeat this. Did you notice that God did not ask the baby anything? He didn't tell the baby to do anything. Everybody in here understand why? The baby's dead and can't do anything until it is first given life. And what I just said to you is true physically, and it is also true spiritually. Why would this be in the Bible to illustrate it if that's not the case? Are y'all with me? The baby is dead and cannot do anything until it is first given life, that is, until it is saved. Did you notice? God did not give the baby a law to keep in order to be saved. You know why? The baby's dead and can't keep a law. Now, there's a passage in Galatians which says, it's Galatians 2. Okay, just hold on a minute. Hold on just a second. I should have written it down, but I didn't. Just listen to this, though. Let me turn to it. It's Galatians 2:21, if you want to write it down. Listen to this. The Bible is consistent. It's amazing. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. That is, he's here talking about how we are eternally saved. And he's saying, I don't add works to it. That's the whole theme of the book of Galatians. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. My brothers and sisters, do you understand what that means? If there had been a law that God could have given us to keep in order to be eternally saved, Christ would not have had to die for us. Christ died for us because we were in such a shape we could not keep a law in order to be eternally saved. So you know what he did? You know what he did, y'all? He kept all of it for us. Are you listening? You, I hope none of you will leave here today. Do not leave here today thinking you've got to keep a law of God to go to heaven. Jesus did it for you. If you love God and love Christ, hate your sin, I'm telling you right now. Isn't that great? Okay. So, point number one, to be saved is to be given life from the dead, to be brought from death to life, to be brought from death in sins to life in Christ by the power of God. Now I ask you, can any power other than God do that? Only God's power can do that. The gospel doesn't have the power to do that. I remember one time I was talking to a biologist, and I love biologists too. We were talking about dead people. I said, what's the main chemical difference between being alive and being dead? And he said, some chemical named THC or TPC or something. He abbreviated THC, TPC, something. I said, okay, if I've got a dead corpse out here and I pump it full of this TPC, will it live? He said, oh no, it'll get warm maybe, but it won't live. I said, well, that's not the main difference then, is it? You with me? God is telling us all the time, in nature, in physical reality, in biology, God is telling us all the time, salvation is by grace. It is based on what I do. And you can't do anything spiritual to get it because you're too dead. Everybody with me? Okay. Now I want to ask you a couple of questions here. I wrote these down. With all this in mind, is fallen man just leaning a little to one side and needs propping up? Is that all that's wrong with man? Man is just leaning a little to one side and he's propping up. Is that all? Is he merely ignorant and needs instruction? I would ask you, how much teaching can you do to a dead person? Only God can teach a dead person. But that's a whole other subject. All right. Is fallen man just sick and needs a dose of medicine? Is he just sick? Has fallen man just made a poor decision and needs to reverse it with a proper decision? Is that all that's wrong with man? Is that what man needs? Y'all with me? Is fallen man like the child who needs to be turned around in the road so he doesn't walk out into the traffic? Just needs his direction changed so he doesn't walk out. Is that what's the matter with fallen man? Is that all he is? He needs a direction change? Or is man dead in sins and needs a Savior? What say ye? Okay. Ephesians 4:24. Point number two. So the first thing saved means, the word saved means brought from death to life. And I can't think of a clearer, more perfect illustration of the very moment of regeneration than we see there in Ezekiel 16:6, when God gives the dead baby life. Okay, now, point number two. The second thing, to be saved means to be given a new nature. So you're not just made alive with the same old nature you had. It is brought from death to life, but it's also to be given a whole new nature. in the inner man. This is also what it means to be saved, or part of it. Okay? Ephesians 4:24. And then I want to look at Romans 6. Well, it's in here somewhere. Ephesians 4:24. Okay. Of course, Paul's speaking to the Christians at Ephesus. Remember, the Bible is not written to dead people. The Bible is not written to spiritually dead people. The Bible is only written to people who are already born again. They're the only ones that have the mind with which to understand it. I wish the whole world knew that. So here he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them to put on the new man. By the way, you can't put on clothes that you do not own. Well, I mean, I guess you can, but it's stealing. You put on what you have, right? Put on the new man. Now, here's what I'm after. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you realize that's saying your new creature, the part of you that God gives you in regeneration, maybe when you were a child, was created, when it says after God there, it means in the image of God. You want to know why it's in the image of God? Are you listening? Because God is the one that does the fathering. And most of us have some attributes of our fathers, don't we? Don't we? My friends, when the Bible says born of God, you know what it means? Literally, spiritually fathered by God. Begotten of God. Spiritually. So not only are you brought from death to life, you're given a new nature, and that nature is in the image of God. I ask you, did we need it? Did we need it? I mean, you know, before this, we're in a shape where we can't do righteousness, none that do good, no, not one. Did we need it or what? Put on the new man, which after God is created. Who does the creating? Who created the universe? I'm so weary of people teaching evolution like it's a fact. Evolution is the most bogus, non-scientific, malarkey. Anyway, I much prefer to believe that God did the creating than that we spontaneously combusted and became what we are by accident. What do you say? God created the universe. God created you anew in your inner man. And that's how you have life in the first place. And that is also how you now have a nature inside you which is in the image of God. And it says here that it is created in righteousness and true holiness. Are you listening? So you get a nature change. Not only are you brought from death to life, you're also given this new nature. Unbelievable, incredible. And this takes place in your inner man. You say to me, well then why do I still want bad stuff? Because your physical, corporeal body hadn't been changed yet. Amen? Now Becky and I were talking about this the other day. She said, well, I sure wish God had changed my body too. Well, yeah, but you'd be gone from here. Well, then that'd be great too. I make a motion, my brothers and sisters, that we don't be telling God how he ought to do this. And I'm not saying Becky was saying that. But that we just try to learn how God has done this. What has God done? Now, the initial giving of eternal life brings you from death to life, and it gives you this new nature, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, and this is in your inner man. Now, this is why the Bible always has this illustration of the inner versus the outer, or the flesh versus the spirit. It's the conflict we all face, is it not? Is it not? Okay, so got to go over and see Seth and Christy, and I got to work out a little bit, mow his yard, hold the baby, just incidentally. And Seth says, Dad, I bought some Kit Kat ice cream for you. And I said, Seth, I'm on a diet. He says, you're not on a diet tomorrow, Dad. Are you with me? Why? I'm going to ask you, my brothers and sisters, do evil thoughts ever go through your mind? Do evil thoughts ever go through your mind? And then you stop and you say, well, where did that come from? And you feel terrible that you've had that evil thought. Does that ever happen to you? All right, if that happens to you, you know why? That's because you've got a new creature in the inner man that responds against the evil that's still in your carnality. Are you with me? You would not have that dilemma if you were not already saved. For me to tell you when you're in that condition, what you need to do to be eternally saved is illogical, to say the least. Now, each and every one of us need to be saved from a bunch of stuff, don't we? Oh, you young parents, I'll get to this a few weeks maybe. You young parents, it is your responsibility not to save your children for heaven, but it is sure your responsibility to save them from the evil of this present world as much as you possibly can. By teaching them the truth of Jesus Christ, there is no other way. There is no other way. Young parents, be serious about teaching your children about God and Christ, about the Bible, about the Word of God, about what's right and wrong. Young parents, require your children to obey you. Put teeth in it. I know, young parents are going to say, he's all over us all the time. The reason I say these things is the weight of the seriousness of parenting in the culture in which we currently live. So to be eternally saved is to be brought from death to life. To be saved is also to be given a new holy nature inside, in the inner man. It is created in righteousness. It's in the image of God. It is the part of you which has faith and loves God. Y'all, it's the real you. It's the real you. The real you is the inner you. I'm really glad. Now that I say that, I'm so glad. 64 years old, trying to lose weight, have no energy. I'm really glad to know that the real me is the inner me. The outer me? I'm start telling Becky, don't be looking at the outer me. Look at the inner me. The real you is the inner you, not the outer you. Look, the outer you is going to be, how shall I, well, it's going to be glorified at the resurrection. It's going to be souped up. And no, none of us have seen that. No, we haven't seen it. I don't know what that's going to be like. I just know it's going to be great, don't you? This inner creature, this born-again part of you, inside of you, created in righteousness and true holiness, it's a real you. Y'all, it's the you that's going to go to heaven when you die. Are you with me? I'll get to that next week. It's the real you. I want to tell you, I am glad this morning to think that one day the wickedness of my flesh will be eradicated by God when I'm resurrected by His grace. Aren't you looking forward to that too? I was talking to somebody this week, the lady that did the booklet. You know, one reason why I can't wait to get to heaven, I said to her, and she said, no, sir, Mr. Harvey, she Chinese. I said, no cell phones in heaven. No cell phones. No diets. You say, Brother Gary, you're so silly. What I mean by that is, you listening? No flesh. No carnality. absolutely unbelievable. But I believe it, don't you? But that is given, that new nature is given to your inner man when you're born again. Y'all listen to me. The new birth gives you that nature. You don't have to work at it and strive for it. And no, the new birth gives you that new born again nature, that new holy nature. Okay, now I want you, isn't that just music to yours right there? Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6 and let me give you a couple of verses of Romans 6. Oh, my time is up. What? I know. Romans 6, a couple of verses here right quick. Oh, whoa. Which one of you set the clock up? That's what I want to know. Travis has done set the clock up. Oh, I tease y'all. You realize I love you, right? I don't mean a little bit. Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Do you realize what he's saying? He is saying, at the moment of regeneration, there's a part of you given to you that is not dead in sin, it is now dead to sin. You understand? Totally separate. That new creature that God gave you to be saved means to possess this new creature that is dead to sin. Separated from sin. Cannot sin. 1 John 3. I don't have time to refer you to it. Read it. 1 John 3. Well, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, because seed remaineth in him, but cannot sin, born of God. 1 John 3. So where you were, are you listening? Where you were dead in sin, after the new birth, even a baby, after the new birth, there's a part of you that is now dead to sin. Now I want to ask you, who can do that kind of work except God? It's unbelievable. All right. Okay, I ruined this sermon, didn't I? Look at Romans 6:11 as I close. Merciful heavens. Okay, before I read this, to be saved means to be brought from death to life. And to be saved means to be given a new holy nature in the inner man. Everybody see that? This is what it means to be saved. Likewise, verse 11, Romans 6, everybody listening, are you listening? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. If you're here this morning and you love God and you love Christ and you love the brethren and you hate sin and you hate your own sin and you feel bad toward God when you sin, even if nobody knows it but you, I submit you are saved. Not because of what you did, but because of what it did to you. God is telling the Romans, and through the apostle and us, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Consider this applies to you. Reckon you to be saved. Now, do all of us, as saved people, need to be saved from some stuff? Get to that eventually. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin in the inner man, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord and His finished work. I thank you. Mercy. Appreciate your great attention. You're an astonishing congregation.